Good morning, friends. My name is Mark. It's great to be with you this morning. Keep your Bibles open at that passage, and I trust you've had time to get online and download an outline. That will really help you follow along with this passage this morning. How about I pray for us as we begin? Our great God and Father, we thank you that you speak to us, that we can know your powerful word. We just pray as we consider this passage, you will help us understand who Jesus is, what he is saying, and the challenge that it brings to who we are as your disciples. Just help us to hear and listen and understand. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You might be unaware, friends, but I'm actually an amateur fisherman. I actually get out and know how to fish, unlike Rob. When my family and I go away on holidays, the fishing rods and the tackle box is packed, the net, and we often find time to go out and fish. It's really something fun to do as a family if you ever have the opportunity. From feeding the tiddlers in the lagoon to catching a tasty leather jacket or bream in a boat off a lake, or even catching Australian salmon off rocks. I've done that. That was a lot of fun. They are a challenge to wind in. They are extremely tasteless. They're not good to eat, but it's a good fight. So getting out, having fun fishing, I highly recommend it. Because Rob has no idea what he's doing when he goes out, I want to share with you some of my tips that I've learned as I've been learning how to fish. And it's a fun, cheap hobby you might like to consider as we come out of lockdown. My first tip is to get the correct gear. I brought my estuary rod. That is, this is the rod. We have a few of these types of rods. Rods that I use when we go out fishing on lakes or rivers. If you're in a boat, it's a good, not too big, it fits on the boat. But it's ideal when you're at a lagoon. With the right hook, you're going to catch some good fish with this. It is useless, though, if you go to the beach. There's no way you can cast a hook and a sinker out beyond the breakers where the fish are. You need a big beach rod for that. And so you need the correct gear if you're going to go out fishing. And the second tip follows, you need the correct bait. A fish doesn't wake up in the morning and think, oh, this morning I'm going to have a metal hook for breakfast. Rather, you need to bait up your hook with worms or prawns or fish that are common in our waters. Chumming up the water, as my wife tells me I should use the correct terms, if you chum up the water with burley, that also helps to attract the fish to you. I remember when we were in Europe, the fish, we used to go fishing for trout all the time, and we used to just use bread, white bread, fresh white bread, and add MSG to the bread, and we just used to pack it together and then hook up, use that on our hooks. And so the trout loved the bread, but the MSG strangely acts like the burley. They're just really attracted to it. So use the correct bait. My third tip is timing. You need to go when the fish are out and they're hungry, and that's usually at the change of tide, when the nutrients are coming in from sea or when the rubbish is getting washed out to sea from the rivers. If you've got your hook in the water at those change of tide times, then you're more likely to catch a fish. Of course, you can throw your hook in at any time, but I think the most you get out of it is a lesson in patience rather than easy pickings. My final tip as an amateur fisherman is that you must realise that you cannot talk a fish onto your barbecue. Fishing is a skill. It requires patience. You can use good gear, you can use fish finders to locate the fish, but you still need to hook them. You have to understand that fish fit into that area of life labelled completely out of our control. You cannot command a fish to jump onto your barbecue unless. Luke records for us an occasion when all my best fishing tips are proven false. Luke tells us about a word. There is a word which has such great power, the power to control the uncontrollable. It has a power to transform. There is a word which can overload a boat with fish. There is a word which is spoken which gives hope and purpose to the hopeless and powerless. What is that word? What is this powerful word which controls the uncontrollable and transforms and gives hope? Well, let's consider this powerful word in Luke 5. Luke is really setting up themes that are going to run throughout the rest of this gospel, but we'll see how he introduces the ideas here. You see in the first verse that Luke takes us to an occasion when Jesus is beside Lake Gennesaret, which is another name for the Sea of Galilee. Very similar to how the Hawkesbury River, that's that way, and the Nepean River are actually the same river. It just depends on which direction you approach it from. And you might remember, up until this point in Luke's Gospel, and Rob helpfully reminded us, that we've been looking at the purpose, Jesus' purpose and Jesus' identity. His identity was explained using various terms, like he's the expected Christ, the Son of God, the Holy One of Israel, on whom God's Spirit rests. He is expected to be a Saviour as well, someone who will redeem and rescue Israel. Those are some of the terms used to describe his identity. You might remember that we looked at Isaiah 4, and Jesus uses the words of the prophet Isaiah to explain, he uses them to explain and state his purpose. He was going to proclaim liberty, to proclaim recovery and a great reversal of fortunes. And as we saw, as Jesus started to travel around proclaiming this message, he actually starts bringing about a great transformation. He casts out demons and he heals the sick as he'd been travelling throughout Judea. Well, now he's beside the Lake of Gennesaret teaching. And we're not surprised the crowds are coming to hear him. Something significant is happening here. Luke mentions something which shapes who Jesus is and what he's doing. There's a term he uses. People are extremely interested in Jesus' ministry to the point that they're almost pushing him into this lake. Well, why? What's happening here? Look again at the beginning of verse 1, where Luke tells us the crowd was pressing in on Jesus to hear God's word. Now, I suspect we're very familiar with these gospel narratives, that we might not notice something extraordinary is happening here. Yes, people are very keen to hear Jesus' teaching, so they keep moving forward to hear him. Of course, you can imagine it'll get a little bit tricky if he's being pushed backwards and they all end up in the lake. There's a simple solution, verse 2. He saw two boats at the edge of the lake. The fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, which belonged to Simon, and he asked him to put out a little from the land. Then he sat down and was teaching the crowds from the boat. Now, that's a very simple solution. You borrow a boat, anchor it just offshore, and you teach all the people who are standing or sitting on the shore. You might remember Simon. Jesus has already healed his mother-in-law back in chapter 4. We'll come back to talk. Simon features, obviously, in this story a bit later. My question, as we look at that introduction, is whether you've spotted the key element in Luke's introduction. Did you notice the radical and amazing aspect of Jesus' ministry? the reason why the crowd is pressing forward, why they are wanting to get near to him. The key is the content of Jesus' teaching, the Word of God. That phrase, the Word of God, is extremely significant in this gospel. Jesus is teaching people this message about God. Jesus' teaching is in a sense prophetic. When Jesus speaks, you're hearing God speak. Consequently, Jesus' teaching has authority. We saw this back in chapter 4, a few verses earlier, chapter 4, verse 36. The people could see and understand that Jesus' word had authority. And so as Jesus is speaking, he's revealing God. He's talking about his plans and purposes for Israel. And here in verse 1, it really appears like a passing reference to Jesus' teaching. However, as we see this narrative unfold, and as it keeps unfolding in the next few chapters, the word that Jesus speaks is significant.